thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Last week, we saw how Jesus told the disciples not to leave Jerusalem until they had received the gift of the Holy Spirit that the Father had promised and until they were clothed with power from on high. This gift of the Spirit and this clothing was what was going to enable them to carry out the command of Jesus to be his witnesses, to take the gospel out into the whole world. Jesus had spoken so much to them, especially in those final few weeks, about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But you know, in the hours following Jesus' arrest and his crucifixion, they couldn't make head nor tail of what Jesus had been talking about, because suddenly everything was thrown up in the air as far as they were concerned. Their lives were thrown into darkness and confusion. Any idea of being a witness was a million miles away. But then the resurrected Jesus appeared to them. Luke 24:45. And he opened up their minds and he began to show them how all the scriptures were falling into place and how everything had to be fulfilled. And then over the course of the next number of days and weeks, when Jesus met with his disciples at different times, they were getting a clearer understanding of what this coming of the Spirit was going to be about. Then came the day of the ascension of Jesus into heaven. They were talking to Jesus. He was with them. And he was telling them, don't go out yet as witnesses. Wait until you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wait until you've been clothed with power from on high. And then he took them. And they went out to the vicinity of Bethany. I've never been to Israel or anything, but I love Bethany. I don't know why. I just love Bethany. I love the idea of Bethany. Jesus seemed to love Bethany, the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They went out to the vicinity and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Does that not just do something for you? Jesus Christ lifting up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, it says, Luke 24:50-53, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Now, very important. Jesus didn't suddenly just disappear into thin air. Jesus didn't bless them and then go off somewhere, never to be seen by anybody again. Luke tells us in Acts 1:9 that Jesus was taken up before their very eyes. And a cloud hid him from their sight. And that's when two men, two angels, stood beside them and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. They had seen it all now. They knew God is not limited by anything. No wonder the proverb tells us, do not lean on your own understanding. Because who could have predicted that God's way to redeem humanity from the curse of sin and death would be to send his son to die a death of crucifixion on a Roman cross? Who could have predicted that? Nobody. Who could have believed that somebody who died that death of crucifixion on a Roman cross could be raised to life on the third day. Nobody could have predicted or hardly believed that. Who could believe that you could be talking to somebody one minute and they're speaking and they're blessing you, and the next minute you physically see them with your own eyes rising up in the sky? Friends, that's what I keep saying. Don't read the Bible with that religious gloss. Put yourself right there. Put yourself right there. Jesus, they're standing there and they're being blessed by him. And he just starts rising up. And they're looking. They know he's going. He's told them he's going. He's told them he's going back to the Father. And they're literally seeing it. And they're looking and they're looking. And he goes right up until he's hidden by a cloud. They were witnesses to it. And when it happened and when the angel spoke to them, he said, right, that's right, he said. He said, when he goes, we're not to go out, start witnessing right away. We're to go to Jerusalem. And we're to go to Jerusalem and we're to wait there. We're to wait for the clothing with power from on high. We're to wait for this gift of the Holy Spirit that is promised. One thing's clear. They had learned not to try to predict how God was going to do things. They had learned that. And they were not going to try and work out how the Spirit, or when the Spirit even, was going to be given. They'd been surprised each and every time by what God had done. God is a God of the unexpected. But his ways are perfect. Perfect. And so they went to Jerusalem. The Bible tells us they were mainly in the temple, praising God, waiting in expectation. They were expecting the Spirit to come in power. Well, I can tell you this, they were not disappointed. The coming of the Spirit was no anticlimax. You can read all about it, read all about it, read all about it, folks, in Acts chapter 2, but we're just going to read the first 13 verses. Do you want to turn to Acts 2, 1 to 13? Father God, we come to you this night in this place. Lord, this is a small rural town in a very small country in this world. But I thank you that you are here. You are here by your Spirit. And Lord, many of us in this room tonight are expecting. Lord, there's something burning in our hearts, Lord, a hunger deep within for you and for more of you. Lord, we recognize and we will admit openly our weakness and our failure at being truly your witnesses. And tonight we come, Lord, and we want to say, we want to be clothed with power from on high, Lord. We need the clothing of your Spirit. We need to be filled, Lord. And I pray, Lord, tonight as we come and as we study your word, oh God, Lord, may faith be ignited within us. Lord, I pray that this room would be charged with the atmosphere of heaven tonight. Lord, I pray over this congregation and over my own heart, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that you would move in this place tonight. Even as we're listening to your word, Lord, would you fill us? Lord, would you create a deeper hunger for you? Oh, Lord God, we seek your face. We seek your face. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, A crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in his native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." The day of Pentecost, celebration of the beginning of the harvest, the early harvest. The believers, about 120 of them, together in one place in a house. And suddenly, this noise, this blowing of a sound like a violent wind from heaven. If you or I had been there, what would our initial feeling have been? They've spent the last number of days praying, praising God, being together, waiting for the gift of the Spirit, and suddenly they're hearing something. They're hearing the sound of a violent wind. And then they're seeing something. They're seeing tongues of fire. I mean, what does that look like? Separating and coming to rest on each one of them. And then they are speaking. They are speaking in languages that they have never, ever learned. Speaking in tongues. This was outside of the experience of all of them. Jesus had never told them, "You're going to speak in these new languages." Jesus hadn't said anything about a violent wind coming or the sound of a wind coming from heaven. But here they are, 120. You've got the noise of the wind, and then you've got the noise generated when 120 people excitedly, because I'm sure they were excited, I'm sure they were, first Pentecostals and all that, excited, speaking out in these new tongues, languages. That was exciting and it was noisy. In the perfect plan and timing of God, God-fearing Jews from all the nations under heaven were in Jerusalem to celebrate the festival of Pentecost. They heard the sound. Maybe they heard the wind, I don't know. They certainly heard 120 loud voices. And they came running to see what was happening. But curiosity became bewilderment. Because each one, all these nations mentioned here, heard these Galileans speaking in their own languages and declaring the wonders of God. No wonder they're amazed and perplexed. And they're asking, "What does this mean?" Some making fun, of course, saying they're drunk. But Peter, the same Peter who had been so rash in saying, "I'll never deny the Lord," but had quickly denied him three times. The same Peter who had been so hurt when Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" Peter was restored on that day and forgiven. And he stood up. And he stood up and he showed to the world the gift of the Holy Spirit wasn't just about tongues. It was truly about being clothed with power from on high, and it was about being a witness to the risen Jesus Christ, the only Savior. 3,000 people converted, folks. This dramatic event that we read about here, this is the birth of the church. It inaugurated the church in the power of the Spirit. But it's important to note, and it is important, not every event that happened on this day is a normative experience for all believers receiving the gift of the Spirit. This is the only instance in the scripture where the people around could understand the languages being spoken. So it's a very particular and a very dramatic event. The rest of the book of Acts is a story of the spreading of the gospel in the power of the Spirit. After the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, a very intense persecution broke out against the church. The believers, all the believers, apart from the apostles, were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Those two names ring a bell. Stay in Jerusalem, witness there. Then Judea and Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. Acts 8:4 says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. This is a direct fulfillment of what Jesus has commanded. They are to wait for the filling of the Spirit. They are to be his witnesses in Jerusalem. They've been doing that. And then a persecution broke out. They were scattered to Judea and Samaria, then to be his witnesses there. So let's go to Samaria and see what's happening in Samaria. In Acts chapter 8, you can read about this. Read that Philip, in Acts chapter 8, Philip preached the good news of the gospel in Samaria. Many people believed and they were baptized. This was a group of new Christians in Samaria. When the apostles heard about it, they sent Peter and John to them. And I'm going to read you what they said. Peter and John, Acts chapter 8, 15 to 19. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon, that's an important word, upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So they're obviously Christians. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon, he had been a sorcerer, when he saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money because he wanted that same power. When he saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands. I don't want to delve too much into that one incident because a lot more I want to get through. But I want you to note something. When Peter and John laid his hands on those early disciples and the Holy Spirit came upon them, Simon saw something. He saw that the Spirit was given at that laying on of hands, most likely the gift of tongues as the evidence of the gift of the Spirit. Then moving on to Acts chapter 10, you've got the story of Peter going to preach to the household of Cornelius. Cornelius was a God-fearing Gentile who was open to the message that Peter would bring. He had gathered his relatives and his close friends into his house. Peter was in the middle of preaching the word of God to them when something amazing happened. I'm just going to read that as well. Acts 10, 44 to 46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Amazing. This was the evidence that the Spirit had been poured out. When Peter was later explaining this whole situation to the other apostles, he's telling them, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he'd come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I to think I could oppose God? Sometimes we are so constrained by our own experience or teaching that we've heard in the past. We tend to think somebody gets saved, And then some years down the line, when they sort of think they're holy enough, they get baptized. And then some years after that, you know, they sort of graduate a bit more and they can maybe get baptized in the Spirit and speak with tongues. I mean, it can happen like that. It doesn't have to. In the New Testament, water baptism followed almost immediately after conversion. You weren't saying, I'm anything special, I've graduated to some level. You were saying, I'm following Jesus Christ. No turning back. That's what you were saying. Public declaration. And there doesn't have to be a big, long gap before you're filled with the Spirit, but there often is. I'll tell you a bit of Graham's testimony. He was at his second church service in his whole life. He went to that second church service. The gospel was preached and God had been working on him. And he responded and he went up to the front to become a Christian. The pastor led him to the Lord and then said to him, can I pray for you to be filled with the Spirit? Like some of those believers, Graham had never heard of the Spirit. He just said, yeah. So the pastor laid hands on him and just prayed for him. He just began to speak in tongues. He'd never heard of tongues. Just began to speak in tongues. Then the pastor says, got a baptism service tomorrow. Do you want to get baptized too, as soon as you're here? Sometimes we're just like, you know, it's this way and then it's a few more years, it's a few more years. It doesn't have to be. Peter recognized right here, Cornelius' household, this is what Joel was talking about. The Lord said he was going to pour out his Spirit on all believers. The final story we're going to look at is in Acts 19, when Paul was in Ephesus. When he came to Ephesus, there was a small group, about 12 men there, a group of believers. And he said to them in Acts 19, 2, he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. They hadn't even been baptized as Christians. They were just baptized into John's baptism of repentance. Paul wasted no time. He gave them a bit of teaching. They were baptized. He placed his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came on them. Verse 6, they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Just as last week, I wanted to lay the foundation of Jesus' promise of the Spirit and clothing with power. So this week, I wanted to show you how, from the Scriptures, that promise began to be fulfilled. In some places, people became Christians, they hadn't heard of the Spirit, and yet, the Spirit was there. The Spirit was in them. They hadn't heard of him, but he was in them. The Spirit is the one who opens up our heart to even hear the Word of God. You cannot be a Christian unless the Holy Spirit was within you. The Holy Spirit is in every believer. He is the promise, the seal, the guarantee of what is to come within you. But what's significant in Acts 8 and 19? Peter and John and Paul were delighted that people had received Jesus, that they had been baptized, that they were following Jesus, but they were concerned that they had not been filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized, immersed with the Holy Spirit. And in all these references, there was a physical evidence that people were filled with the Spirit. Some have tried, lots of people have tried to argue against this. They've tried to say, oh, tongues and all of that. That was for the New Testament era. That all died out with the apostles. Where is that in the Bible? It is not in the Bible. That is not in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is still being poured out on hungry hearts. Praise the Lord. I need to move along quickly. I'll bring us to the present time. At the present time, she said, at the very beginning of the 20th century, that's, you know, you're getting old when that's the present time. The beginning of the 20th century, there was a renewal of speaking in tongues happened in the world. Many people began to experience again what it was to be filled and baptized with the Spirit and speak in other tongues and, in fact, experience many gifts of the Spirit. In this country, that gave birth to Elim, Assemblies of God, and the Apostolic Church. But it was a time of persecution for those people. Many mocked. Many said from pulpits it was of the devil. It was very difficult. Many denounced it. But I'll tell you something else. It wasn't all about speaking in tongues. Those early Pentecostal believers in Pentecostal churches were reignited with a passion for reaching the lost. Because when the Spirit of God comes upon us, He empowers us for witness. Hallelujah. Then during the 60s and 70s, the charismatic awakening occurred. Have to hide. That word seems to stir up big passions in Northern Ireland, but there was lots of good stuff. Do you know what? It touched people from every denomination. Many outside Pentecostal churches, many believers began to seek God to be filled with the Spirit. There are still some who say and teach and preach that it's from the devil. But almost every denomination would acknowledge there are people sitting in their churches who regularly speak in tongues, and many ministers who would encourage them to do so, particularly in private use. And conversely, there has been a decline in Pentecostal churches on the emphasis speaking in tongues and being filled with the Spirit, sadly. Now, I do want to emphasize, and I keep saying this because I just don't want to be misunderstood. Tongues is one gift out of many gifts, but it is very important. It is very important. A gift that is useful for edifying yourself in the Lord is never, ever to be undervalued. And the New Testament seems to have such a strong link with the empowerment for witness. That's something we all need. The people of God, as I said before, and I'll say again, I sense so strongly just a real sense of the fresh breath of the Holy Spirit blowing among us. And I want to encourage you to be asking the Lord in your own times, asking the Lord to fill you. Maybe you've never been filled with the Spirit as you would understand. Maybe I wouldn't emphasize the speaking in tongues, but it's a good thing to seek after. But just ask the Lord to reignite the spark. Maybe you've never had the spark. Maybe you feel as dry as an old stick for years. Or maybe you are renewed. There's always more. You know, this last month, I have come into something new in the Spirit by myself. I'm telling you, I have. In my own times, I have sensed a total newness of the Spirit. I tell you, one thing was really grieving me. I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to. I often speak about a burden for souls, and I have a burden for souls, but I was telling them at the home group, last Monday, after last Sunday here, and I was buzzing on Sunday night, just a sense of the Lord's presence. And on Monday, I was just going to see somebody. I was driving along in the car. I was just saying, Lord, I'm just not speaking to enough people about you. I'm just not witnessing enough. I just don't have that. I'm not connecting enough with people who are not Christians and just sharing the gospel. Lord, that has to be corrected in me. Do something in me, Lord. Fill me with the Spirit. Clothe me with power. I shared that with the group on Wednesday night. On Thursday, no, maybe it was Wednesday night. Well, whatever night it was, I lose all track of time. But whatever night it was, one night, I was trying to get people to study in our house. And it was stressful. I stand at the living room window feeling a bit overwhelmed. And Graham's like, go out and walk around that block. Just go and walk around the block. I thought, I'll walk around the block. So walk around. So start off out Ballycormick Park, right, halfway up Secon Road. And I'm sort of like stewing, trying to pray, but sort of stewing. I'm like, I stressed out my head, Lord. And I thought, no, put it aside. Just pray for the anointing of the Spirit. So I thought, right, I'm going to pray. I just pray, Lord, I need to be filled with your Spirit because I need to reach out. I need to witness, Lord. I need to do that. I can't, with integrity, talk to the church about it. I need to be doing it. And I come up and I see a woman at the on the Frost's Road there, the main road at the end of the Secon Road, just staggering across the road. As it transpires, she was trying to kill herself because she had nothing to live for. And I got out into the middle of the road and she just jumped out in front of this car that was coming powering down that road. And I'm grabbing her and trying to get her off the road. And I couldn't get her off the road. And I'm trying to wave down this car, which stopped literally feet away from both of us. I actually thought I was going to heaven. Standing there, just managed to drag her to the side of the road. You know, that turned out to be an evening of praying. Not, she's not become a Christian, but praying for somebody who has, up to this point, driven Christians away from her door, who was quite abusive to start with, but by the end of the evening allowed me to pray with her and share the gospel with her. And there's an open door there to go back to see her, who came from a godly home many, many years ago. And I honestly, I just thought, Lord, forgive me for the times when I've just been blinded to the opportunities that are in front of my nose. For me, it was a wake-up call, a wake-up call. Somebody, to all intents and purposes, if you met them, you just think, a lovely person, lovely life, lovely house, lovely everything. Broken and lost, folks. Broken and lost. And they're everywhere. And the Lord wants to stir our hearts up as a church here. And I know many of you are visiting from other churches. For your church also, may God stir the hearts of his people. We often say there's not many people getting saved. It's true, there's not. But it starts with God's people being clothed with power from on high. Because when we are clothed, we are enabled to witness. And our eyes are opened. And we want to reach out with the gospel. And we're empowered to do it. Oh, I pray for us all that we will enter a new season. We are entering. A season of refreshing that will lead to the salvation of many. Next week, as you know, Stuart Elliott will be here. Invite people. Take that first step. Invite people. The week after, I'm going to be speaking very specifically about the gift of tongues. And at the end of that meeting, we're going to have prayer. There will still be tea in that there, and there'll be no pressure on anybody. But there'll be people here, and we will pray for anyone who wants to receive the gift of tongues, to be filled with the Spirit, or just to be refreshed in the Lord. Seasons of refreshing. Breath of God, blow over your church. Let's pray. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. If anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink. Oh, we're thirsty, Lord. We are thirsty, Lord. Lord, we are taking you at your word. And we are believing that streams of living water are going to flow from within us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And your love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.